Volume 49, Number 3 of The Friend Magazine for March 2019. Contents, Stories and Features. From the First Presidency to Be Like Jesus by President Henry B. Eyring. Missing Mom and Dad. Family Night Fun. Praying to Understand. The Living Christ. Faith and Raindrops. Bright Idea. Hello from Italy. Watching the Rome Temple Grow. Apostles Around the World, Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Prayer Power. Lots of Ways to Say I Love You. Friend to Friend, A Lesson from My Parents, by Elder Massimo De Feo. Show and Tell. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For older kids, Becoming Dr. Cannon, What's on Your Mind, Food and Fun, The No Phone Zone, Fun Stuff, Service Survey, Music, Close as a Quiet Prayer, Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, While You're Watching Conference, Fun Stuff, Find It, The Sermon on the Mount, Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones. Hi, friends. Being honest is best. Circle the Truth. Scripture Stories, Jesus Taught About Prayer. Coloring Page, And Who Will Come to My Party? End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail. Good thoughts. I enjoy reading The Friend every night so that I will have good thoughts when I go to bed. I love how your stories are fun, but always have the best lesson. I can't wait till the next friend. Love, Bella. Bella M., age 7, Kentucky, USA. Keep paddling. Lauren H., age 10, Idaho, USA, made the rowing crew from Keep Paddling, September 2018.
FRIEND. F is for funny. R is for recipe. I is for I love it. E is for easy to read. N is for nice stories. D is for do fun things. Trenchin L, age 8, Utah, USA.
Dear friends, all over the world, there are kids like you who follow Jesus Christ. This year, we're visiting a different country each month. We've already been to the Philippines and Mexico. Join us as we visit Italy on pages 14 through 17. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? Bon voyage, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail, read by Amelie and Gabriel Strongen.
From the First Presidency, To Be Like Jesus, by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. One Sunday, I watched a group of primary children sing, I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm following in His ways. I'm trying to love as He did in all that I do and say. At times I am tempted to make a wrong choice, but I try to listen as the still small voice whispers, love one another as Jesus loves you. Try to show kindness in all that you do. Be gentle and loving in deed and in thought, for these are the things Jesus taught. Each child was leaning forward almost to the front of his or her chair. I could see light in their eyes and determination in their faces. Jesus Christ was their example. To be like Him was their goal. We can all become like the Savior Jesus Christ by living His gospel. I hope you will look for opportunities to do as He did and to love as He loves. Love is the way He leads us along to become like Him. None of us is perfect yet, but we can know that we are following His way. He leads us, and He wants us to follow Him. From Our Perfect Example, Ensign, November 2009, pages 70 through 73. Show love for someone Then send us a flower for our kindness garden. See how on page 39. End of the article, To Be Like Jesus, by President Henry B. Eyring. Read by Wes Nelson.
Missing Mom and Dad, by Jett Burnham, based on a true story. Be not afraid, Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Dylan watched Mom pack her suitcase for her vacation with Dad.
Tomorrow's the big day,
she said.
I bet you can't wait for all the fun things you get to do with Grandma and Grandpa.
Dylan gave a little laugh.
Yep.
Mom and Dad had been planning their trip for a long time, and he knew they were really excited. But why did he feel so nervous? Dylan walked to his bedroom down the hall.
What's going on?
He said to his empty room.
Why do I feel like this?
He flopped down on his bed to think. He remembered when he had first heard about Mom and Dad's trip. He had been a little disappointed that he wasn't going with them. But then he found out he'd be staying with Grandma and Grandpa. He loved their house. There was a huge old tree in their backyard, perfect for climbing. There was a closet of games that they loved playing with him, not to mention Grandma's famous cookies. But for some reason, Dylan wasn't excited anymore. He couldn't stop picturing the moment when his parents would drive away. They would be so far away for an entire week. What if he wanted to talk with them, but they couldn't answer the phone? What if they forgot about him? He had never been away from them this long before. Dylan decided it was time to pray. He slid off his bed onto his knees. He told Heavenly Father all the things he was worried about.
Please help me to feel happy about the trip and to stop feeling so scared.
He felt a little better as he climbed back into bed. He knew Heavenly Father had heard his prayer, but how would he help? Did Heavenly Father even understand what it was like to feel homesick? Then Dylan thought about how Heavenly Father sent all his children to earth. It must be hard to send them away for so long and so far away, too. Maybe Heavenly Father did understand. Maybe Heavenly Father missed him. Dylan started to feel warm inside. The Holy Ghost was telling him that Heavenly Father loved him very much. He thought about Grandpa and Grandma. He imagined the big hugs they'd give him. That made him smile. He kept imagining those hugs as he fell asleep. The next morning, Dylan felt a little better when he woke up. Something smelled good in the kitchen. Sure enough, Dad had cooked a huge stack of pancakes.
Those look yummy,
Dylan said.
Hey, Grandma and Grandpa aren't the only ones who can make an amazing breakfast,
Dad said with a laugh. Dylan grinned. He had almost forgotten about Grandpa's smiley-faced chocolate chip pancakes. He didn't say it out loud, but Dylan liked those pancakes even better than Dad's. He couldn't wait to have them again. The rest of the morning zoomed by. Dylan helped carry the suitcases out to the car. He put on his backpack and double-checked that he had his favorite books. Pretty soon, they were pulling up to Grandma and Grandpa's house. Grandma waved from the front porch.
Dylan!
Grandpa called out from the doorway. Dylan jumped out of the car and ran to them. Grandma and Grandpa gave him the biggest, longest hug in the universe.
Thank you, Heavenly Father,
he prayed silently.
Thank you for helping me not feel so afraid.
Maybe a week wouldn't be too long after all. The author lives in Utah, United States of America.
Sidebar. Once I prayed and prayed for a nice school teacher for the new year. After many months of praying, I was put in my new class, and my new teacher is so nice and happy and teaches with love. I said a thank you prayer to Heavenly Father for answering my prayers and for taking care of me and my worries. I'm so happy that we can pray to Heavenly Father about anything, anywhere, and He will help us. Ava C., age 7, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Missing Mom and Dad. Read by Rena Nelson, Sean Nelson, Scott Christopher, Dave Shaw, and L. Anderson.
Family Night Fun.
Here are some ideas you could use for home evening. Song, Close as a Quiet Prayer, page 7. Scripture, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Activity. Together, read a story in this month's magazine about prayer. See pages 4 or 22. Why is prayer important? Give everyone in your family a white pillowcase and permanent markers. Decorate the pillowcases with words and pictures about prayer. Make sure to help little kids not make too much of a mess. Or draw a picture on paper to hang by your bed. Use the artwork to remind your family to pray every morning and night. Heavenly Father loves you and wants to hear from you. Fig cookies. Figs are one of the foods Jesus talks about in the Bible. Here's an easy recipe you can make to celebrate what your family is learning about the New Testament this year. Step 1. Combine 1 cup dried figs, 1/2 cup raisins, 1 cup quick oats, and 1/2 cup shredded coconut in a food processor. Step 2. Blend until it no longer sticks to the side of the bowl. Step 3. Take the dough and roll it into a log shape. Slice the log into 12 cookies. Step 4. Put 1/2 cup shredded coconut in a bowl. Coat each cookie in the coconut. Enjoy your cookies. More ideas. Play the Lots of Ways to Say I Love You board game, pages 24 through 25. Use page 21 to learn about the Sermon on the Mount. Find Italy on a map and then take an evening walk like the Italians do. See page 14. End of Family Night Fun, read by Noah Strongin.
A true story written by you. Praying to Understand. David E., age 7, Utah, USA. My family and I went to visit my grandpa on an island called Tenerife. When we got there, I was thinking about all the things that I normally do back at home. Then I remembered church, so I asked my mom, "Will church here be the same as at home?" "Yes, you'll see how church is just about the same wherever you go. The chapel may look different, but everything else will be about the same." I thought about how the people on the island spoke Spanish. Will people at church speak Spanish? Yes. I couldn't quite understand Spanish or speak it. I was very nervous about going to church. I told my mom. She suggested that we pray and ask God for help to feel peace and not be nervous. I said the prayer and asked God to help me understand what people said. When we got to church, I felt a warm feeling inside. After sacrament meeting, the primary president came to meet me. She actually spoke English. I told my mom, "I'm going to go to primary class with her." The primary president was very smiley and kind. She even asked me to teach her how to pronounce the names of the Book of Mormon prophets in English. During class, one of the teachers played a song on a tape that was in Spanish. I recognized the song from home. It was "If the Savior Stood Beside Me." I felt peaceful because it reminded me of home and I was filled with a warm feeling inside. It reminded me that the church is the same everywhere. I may not have learned Spanish overnight, but God answered my prayer by having someone else speak my language and help me. He gave me exactly what I needed that day to make it through church and not be scared. End of the story, Praying to Understand, read by Ethan Nelson.
The Living Christ. The prophets and apostles wrote The Living Christ to tell the world about Jesus. Read part of it each month and memorize the words in blue. His gospel was a message of peace and goodwill. He entreated, or asked, all to follow his example. He walked the roads of Palestine, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, and raising the dead. He taught the truth of eternity, the reality of our pre-mortal existence, or our life before we came to earth, the purpose on our life in earth, and the potential, or what we can become, for the sons and daughters of God in the life to come. My kindness map. Sing, "I'm trying to be like Jesus," in Children's Songbook, page 78. On a big piece of paper, draw a map of your home, your neighborhood, or your school. Add pictures of ways you can show an example of kindness to people you see there. Go to BibleVideos.org to watch videos about Jesus Christ's miracles. End of The Living Christ, read by Shannon Nelson.
Faith and Raindrops by Marissa Dennis, based on a true story. The family is heading to the car to go to church. Missy, stepping on the crunchy grass, says to Mom,
"The grass is thirsty, Mom. It's all yellow."
Mom, putting Missy's baby sister in her car seat, says,
"I know. It hasn't rained in a long time."
Dad, standing in the doorway, says,
"Ready? We don't want to be late for church."
In church, the bishop announces to the ward,
"Next week is Fast Sunday. Please fast and pray for rain."
Missy whispers to Mom,
"I want to pray for rain."
During the week, Missy prayed for rain every day. She prayed in her room, at mealtime, and in family prayers. The next Sunday, Missy excitedly says to Mom,
"I'm ready for church."
"Why do you have your umbrella?"
"I think it will rain."
Missy's brother Brandon looks out the window and says,
"It doesn't look like it."
"But I know Heavenly Father heard my prayers."
Dad takes this opportunity to teach about the gospel and says,
"That's called faith."
Mom says,
"Sometimes answers don't come right away. Now we need to wait and trust God."
Days later, the family is sitting by the window in the living room when Missy notices that it has begun to rain.
"It's raining! Heavenly Father answered my prayers!"
End of the story, Faith and Raindrops. Read by Margot Patello, Shauna Thompson, Wes Nelson, Van Farnworth, Lars Anderson, and Kate Strongen.
Hello from Italy.
We're Margot and Paolo.
We're traveling around the world to learn about children of God. Join us as we visit Italy.
Italy is in southern Europe. On a map, it looks kind of like a boot. More than 6 million people live there.
Do you know how to say, "I'm a child of God" in Italian?
Sono un figlio di Dio.
This girl is reading the Book of Mormon in Italian.
Most Italian people belong to a Catholic church. Some of their beliefs are different from ours, but they also believe in Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. This is a window from a Catholic church building.
Many kids in Italy come home from school to eat with their families during pausa pranzo, lunch break. They might have meat, vegetables, and pasta or rice.
Before dinner, many Italian families like to go for an evening stroll or passeggiata. They wear nice clothes and walk around the plaza together. They might even stop for some gelato, Italian ice cream. This month, a temple is opening in Rome. It was announced in the October 2008 General Conference. This will be Italy's first temple. Meet some of our friends from Italy.
I know that Jesus lives and that he guides the prophets. It's very important to go to church so that we can learn more about Jesus. I have started reading the Book of Mormon every day because I would like to know more things about the gospel. Lorenzo B., age 7, Piedmont, Italy.
When I am near the temple, I think about Jesus and I feel excited. Finally, we won't have to drive 12 hours to get to the temple. Now I will be able to get to the temple in just 50 minutes. When I'm older, I will be able to go and do baptisms in the temple. Olivia G., age 8, Lazio, Italy.
Thanks for exploring Italy with us. See you next time. Ciao! End of Hello from Italy, read by Enzo and Marga Patello, and Gabriel and Amelie Strongen.
Watching the Rome Temple Grow by Marissa Wittison, Church Magazines, based on a true story. I love to see the temple. I'm going there someday. Children's Songbook, page 95. Joelle and McKaylee stared at the construction site across the street. They could see lots of metal beams and layers of cement. "It doesn't look much like a temple yet," Joelle said. "But it will someday," McKaylee answered. This was the first time the brothers had seen the place where the Rome, Italy temple was being built. Right now, their family had to go all the way to Switzerland to visit the temple. But this new temple was only 30 minutes away from their home. Michele and Joely watched the big yellow trucks move piles of dirt. "I think that's where one of the spires will be," Michele said. He pointed to a spot near the front of the building. Joely nodded. "Look, Papa is coming," he said. Their father was wearing his usual work outfit, church clothes with a white construction hat. He worked as an electrical engineer in the temple. They loved it when he told them about what he worked on each day. One day he told them that the statue of Christ had arrived. Another time he told them about the baptismal font. That night, Michele made sure to say his prayers and thank Heavenly Father for the temple. He felt warm inside whenever he prayed about it. Months went by. The curved temple walls were covered with strong stone and two tall spires grew toward the sky. Then a small visitor center was built nearby. Every once in a while, Joely and Michele would go there to press their faces against the window and see what had changed. Then, one day, they got a happy surprise. "How would you like to see the Angel Moroni statue being put on top of the temple?" Mom asked. The families of the construction workers had all been invited to watch. Joely and Michele could hardly believe it. They were so excited. The next morning, they put on white shirts and ties. When they got to the temple, they walked around it with the other families. They even got to take a picture with the golden angel Moroni. It was huge. Then the workers started moving the statue. Joely watched the giant crane carefully raise Angel Moroni to the top of the tallest spire. A drone buzzed around, taking a video. It was so cool. Joely thought about all the people who would learn about the church by visiting the temple grounds. He thought about how lots of people were going to get married there and how people were going to get baptized for people who had died. "Now it looks like a temple," he told his brother. Michele smiled and nodded. The brothers felt happy. They were excited to go inside the temple when they got older. Their testimonies were growing right along with the building. The Rome, Italy Temple is being dedicated March 10th through 12th. Visit friend.lds.org this month to watch a video about this temple being built. End of the story, Watching the Rome Temple Grow. Read by Wes Nelson.
Apostles around the world. Elder Uchtdorf visits Russia. The apostles travel around the world to minister to people and teach them about Jesus Christ. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf and Sister Harriet Uchtdorf went to Russia to help church members there. Before he was an apostle, Elder Uchtdorf often flew there as an airline captain. Russia is a huge country, and it has never had a temple before. Last year, President Nelson announced that a temple will be built there. Everyone is very excited. First, Elder Uchtdorf went to Moscow, the capital city of Russia. People there loved meeting him and hearing him teach. He said we can help others know about Jesus by serving them. Next, he went to a big city called St. Petersburg. In Russia, missionaries are called volunteers, and they look for people to help every day. They can teach people about the gospel only when they are inside a church building. Elder Uchtdorf ate dinner with some of the volunteers who were finishing their missions and going home. Although we don't know yet where or when the new temple will be built, Elder Uchtdorf encouraged everyone in Russia to get their lives ready for the day when a temple will be there. Getting ready for the temple. What are some ways you can prepare to go to the temple someday? Put a picture of the temple in your room. Find someone in your family tree who hasn't been baptized yet. Talk about the temple with someone who has been inside. Elder Uchtdorf said, "Our hearts have to be ready for the temple." End of the article, Elder Uchtdorf Visits Russia, read by Amelie Stronken.
Fun stuff, find it! These friends are putting on a pet talent show and collecting food for the food bank. Find the hidden objects. A comb, a toothbrush, a bone, a mouse, a piece of wood, a gold coin, a brush, a ball of yarn, a sock, a coconut, a baseball, a piece of pizza, and a carrot. end of Find It. Read by Sean Nelson.
Prayer Power, Who Can You Pray For Today? By David Dixon, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Pray for one another, James chapter 5, verse 16. Dad called everybody to the computer. Lucy dropped the stuffed giraffe she was playing with and hurried over. What was going on? Was it time to call Grandma online? Dad pointed to the computer screen.
I wanted to show you part of a talk from General Conference.
Lucy squinted. It wasn't Grandma, it was President Eyring. He was in the first presidency. Dad pushed play. President Eyring taught about supporting your church leaders. He explained how church leaders need us to pray for them.
That's why we pray for the prophet, right, Dad?
Asked her little brother, David. Dad and Mom both nodded.
Yes, we do. But I also keep thinking about our branch presidency. I think they need our prayers, too.
Lucy loved President Alvarez and his counselors. They were always so nice to her. She wanted to help them.
I'm going to pray for them,
Lucy said.
And we can pray for them in our family prayers, too.
I think that's a great idea,
Mom said.
Let's do it.
For the next few days, Lucy tried hard to remember to pray for the branch presidency whenever she said a prayer. It only took a few extra seconds each time. Easy. The next Sunday in sacrament meeting, President Alvarez stood up after the hymn. Then he said something that made Lucy's eyes get wide.
As a branch presidency, we wanted to thank you for praying for us. We have felt very real strength from those prayers. We really need your faith and prayers to do our callings. Thank you.
Lucy grinned. She looked over at David. He was smiling too. She couldn't believe it. She was so excited that she could hardly sit still. She leaned over and tugged on Mom's sleeve.
Mom, did you hear what President Alvarez said?
She wanted to jump up and down.
It works! Our prayers really worked!
After church, Lucy and her family walked home together.
God really does hear our prayers,
Mom said.
And isn't it amazing to see how powerful it is for a group of people to pray for someone else?
Lucy felt warm and happy inside. She and David skipped down the sidewalk while Mom and Dad walked behind them. She knew Heavenly Father had heard her family's prayers. They were truly making a difference just by praying. That night, Lucy got ready to say her prayers. She thought about her primary teacher and other church leaders who could use some extra blessings. Maybe she would pray for them, too. Lucy folded her arms and bowed her head. She knew just what to say.
Sidebar. When I pray, I feel closer to Heavenly Father and to Jesus. Lorena Eduarda, N, age 5, Sao Paulo, Brazil.
End of the story, Prayer Power. Read by Terrell Williams, Scott Christopher, Gabe Strongen, Margot Patello, Kristen Hawkins, Dave Shaw, and Ocean Patello.
Friend to Friend, A Lesson from My Parents, by Elder Massimo DeFeo of the 70. I grew up in a small town in southern Italy. My family were not members of the church. One day, when I was 9, two missionaries knocked on our door. My parents weren't interested in what the missionaries had to say, but I was. So was my brother, Alberto. Our parents let us keep meeting with the missionaries. Later, we got baptized and confirmed. I was 10, and Alberto was 11. When I was 18, I asked my father to help me pay for my mission. At first he said, "No way, it's too much money." But a couple of days later he asked me, "Do you really want to go on a mission?" And I said, "Yes, with all my heart." My father said he would help me. I didn't understand why my father would pay such a great price for me. Then I realized it was because he loved me. It made me think of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. He paid the highest price because he loves us. When I got back from my mission, my mother was very sick with cancer. One day she asked me to teach her to pray. She wanted to pray for me. Even in her pain, she was thinking of others. She reminded me of Jesus, too. When he atoned for us, he was in great pain. But he was praying for us. Even though my parents never joined the church in this life, they were good examples for me. I am grateful for the lessons I learned from them. We can learn a lot from our parents, teachers, and leaders if we are open to what they teach us. End of the article, A Lesson from My Parents, by Elder Massimo DeFeo of the 70, read by Van Farnworth.
Show and tell. At school, I noticed trash on the playground. So I asked my principal if I could pick up the trash with a friend. I'm glad I am being a good citizen. Aaliyah D., age 10, Baden-Württemberg, Germany.
My sister has cerebral palsy and can't talk or walk. I serve her each day by feeding her, playing with her, and making her laugh. I know when I serve her, I am serving Heavenly Father. Ensign T, age 10, Utah, USA.
I try to be a good and kind friend and help other people. I like to help my Nana with her weeding. Lathan S, age 7, Victoria, Australia.
I love playing soccer, but sometimes my friends like to goof off. At practice one day, some friends were kicking other people's soccer balls. I prayed to have the courage to speak up. I told them we should listen to our coach. I realized that when our team doesn't listen during practices, we have a hard time in our games. Aiden K., age 7, Utah, USA.
I like to play the piano at activity days to bring the spirit to our meeting. Morris G., age 10, Indiana, USA.
I like to serve my family. Fernando C., age 11, Puerto Rico.
Primary children in Staffordshire, England. Visited the Preston, England Temple on a stake temple day. They had fun exploring the temple grounds and learning more about the temple.
Mosiah N., age 11, from Washington, USA, said, When I go to church, I feel the Spirit strongly. I know God loves me.
I like to read the scriptures and also learn about the prophets. Heber M., age 7, Somerset, England.
I use kind words to uplift others. Jessica H., age 11, Western Australia, Australia.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Sarka K., age 8, Czech Republic. Montana F., age 9, Washington, USA. Harper F., age 8, Haute-Garonne, France. Troy and Jack D., ages 9 and 11, Idaho, USA. Arthur A., age 11, North Carolina, USA. Find more child art online at childart.lds.org. End of Show and Tell. Read by L. Anderson, Enzo Patello, and Rena Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Matt and his friend Diego are playing video games together. Diego asks,
How come you're my friend?
Huh?
Well, I can't run or ride bikes and stuff, and some people have trouble understanding me when I talk.
Yeah, I had trouble at first, but I don't know. When I listened, it got easier. I guess I like your funny jokes, and we like a lot of the same stuff.
Then their timer rings, indicating it's time to be done with video games for the day.
Game time's over. How about a sandwich?
While Matt and Diego make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, Matt asks,
So, how come you're my friend?
I guess it started when those guys were picking on me and you stood up for me. Then we talked and I got to know you. And, well, I figured anybody who has a rubber chicken for a pet it's at least one real friend.
Off to the side, the rubber chicken thinks to itself,
I'm his pet. I thought he was mine.
End of Matt and Mandy.
Courageous Examples, Becoming Dr. Cannon, by Jordan Monson Wright, based on a true story. 16-year-old Maddie Hughes was thrilled when she heard about what the prophet had said. Becoming a doctor was her dream, and now President Brigham Young was actually encouraging women to become doctors. Maddie knew that some medical schools were finally letting women in. Of course, she would have to get a college degree before she could go to medical school, and she would have to save a lot of money. It would take a lot of time and a lot of hard work. She knew that. But Maddie thought of her little sister Annie, who had died on the wagon trip to Utah. There had been no doctor to help her when she got sick. Then Maddie's father had died. Here in Salt Lake City, Maddie knew lots of people who were sick or hurt. If Maddie became a doctor, she could help them. Maddie decided to have faith. The prophet had said women should train to be doctors, and she wanted to be one of them. God would help her find a way to go to medical school. Maddie worked hard to save money. She got a job as a typesetter for a newspaper. She had to carefully arrange every letter of every word in the right order so the newspaper could be printed. After work, Maddie went to classes at the university to get ready for medical school. Between home, work, and school, Maddie walked 6 miles, 10 kilometers, every day. She wore heavy men's boots because her regular shoes weren't tough enough to trudge through the mud. She wished she could ride in the mule-drawn streetcar instead of walking, but she was saving every penny for school. Maddie worried that she wouldn't be able to save enough money. She knew her mother and stepfather would try to help her, but they had other children to take care of. What else could she do? Maddie decided to hold a fundraiser and ask friends and ward members to share whatever money they could spare. They were happy to help. Maddie was only the third woman to try to follow President Young's call to become a doctor, and they wanted her to succeed. After the fundraisers, Maddie had enough to go to medical school. She traveled across the country to a university and studied hard. 2 years later, Maddie held her head high and marched onto the graduation platform to receive her diploma. She was finally a doctor. She had never felt so excited. Maddie looked into the cheering crowd of strangers. None of her family or friends from home could be there, but she knew they were proud of her. Soon she would return home to care for them and teach them what she had learned. After going back to Utah, Maddie worked at the Relief Society's hospital in Salt Lake City. She loved her job as a doctor. She helped treat diseases, healed injuries, and even teach classes on how to deliver babies. Becoming a doctor had been hard work, but Heavenly Father had helped her. Now, Maddie would spend the rest of her life helping others. Martha Maddie Hughes Cannon, 1857 to 1932, was a pioneer, doctor, and politician. She was the first woman in the United States to be elected state senator. She worked hard to make life better for others. End of the story, Becoming Dr. Cannon, by Jordan Monson Wright, read by Jane Wise.
What's on your mind? My friends say some of the things I like to do, like music and art, are girl stuff. Is that true? Concerned in categories.
Dear Concerned, there's not one list of talents for girls and another one for boys. Our interests and talents make us unique, and that's a good thing. As you keep developing your talents, you can find friends who like those things too. Keep being you. The Friend. For a fun activity, turn to page 34 of The Friend. End of this month's What's on Your Mind, read by Chloe Patello and Caleb Johnson.
Food and fun. Try this Italian-inspired snack. Be sure to get an adult's help.
mini spaghetti pizzas. You'll need 12-ounce packaged spaghetti, about 340 grams, 2 eggs beaten, 1.5 cups shredded mozzarella, 1/2 cup grated parmesan, 1 cup pizza sauce, topping, shredded mozzarella, chopped green bell pepper, and mini pepperoni. First, preheat oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, 200 degrees Celsius. Bring a pot of water to a boil. Add the spaghetti and cook until it is still a little firm, about 8 minutes. Strain the spaghetti and place it in a large bowl. 2. Add the eggs, mozzarella, parmesan, and pizza sauce to the spaghetti and mix. 3. Grease a muffin tin and fill the cups about 3/4 of the way with the spaghetti. 4. Sprinkle each with mozzarella cheese, bell pepper, and mini pepperoni. Then bake in the oven until the cheese on top is melted and beginning to turn gold, about 15 minutes. Enjoy! Birthday bags. You can help others feel extra love on their birthday by donating birthday bags to a hospital or crisis center. Here are things you could include in the bags. Birthday card, coloring book, crayons, puzzle, fruit snacks or candy, stickers, putty or slime. To make slime, see the February 2019 friend. Bubbles, glow sticks, toy car, notebook, and pens. End of this month's Food and Fun, read by Chloe Patello.
The No Phone Zone by Jane McBride, based on a true story. It is such a happy day when the family gets together. Children's Songbook, page 199. Tyler was playing tag with his cousins when he heard his grandma calling.
Everyone come inside. It's time for dinner.
Tyler's whole family was together for a family reunion. Even Uncle Robert and his family had come from far away. As everyone gathered together, Tyler noticed Grandma holding a basket. He wondered what it was for.
I'm going to pass this basket around,
Grandma said.
It's for your phones.
Tyler heard several of his cousins groan.
Our family doesn't get together very often,
Grandma said.
This way, we can listen to each other better. We can all get our phones back after dinner.
Uncle Hiram made a funny face.
Welcome to the No Phone Zone,
he said as he put his phone in the basket and passed it on. Tyler looked at his phone. He liked playing games on it, and he was waiting for a text from his best friend, Ethan. With a sigh, he put his phone in the basket and handed it to his cousin. Then he heard a ping. Was that a text for him? He barely stopped himself from reaching for the basket again.
Thank you,
Grandma said.
Now, let's say a prayer and eat.
After the prayer, Grandma brought in a plate piled high with hamburgers and hot dogs from the grill. They looked delicious. Tyler helped his little brother put a burger on a bun, and then grabbed a burger and 2 hot dogs for himself. Grandma laughed when she saw his plate.
You eat just like your dad did when he was your age.
Tyler smiled back.
I'm a growing boy, Grandma.
Aunt Tracy laughed, too.
That's exactly what your dad used to say.
After dinner, Tyler's grandparents, aunts, uncles, and older cousins all told stories. Usually, Tyler didn't stick around to hear the grown-ups talk. But this time, he didn't want to leave the table. He never heard these stories before. Tyler especially liked the stories about Dad.
Did Dad ever get in trouble?
He asked.
Oh, yes,
Grandpa said.
He was always making crazy inventions, like toasters that also opened the blinds, or at least tried to.
What do you mean? All of my inventions worked perfectly,
Dad said. Everyone laughed. Grandma looked at Tyler.
We're proud of your father, and we're proud of you, too.
Tyler felt a little embarrassed, but mostly he had a happy feeling inside. Suddenly, Tyler realized that he hadn't even thought about his phone for an hour. He had been having so much fun. When Dad said it was time to leave, Tyler gave Grandma a big hug. Thanks, Grandma. This was the best dinner ever. The author lives in Colorado, USA. Sidebar. We build deep and loving family relationships by doing simple things together, like family dinner and family home evening, and by just having fun together. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. End of the story, The No Phone Zone, read by Jane Wise, Jonah Brooks, Lars Anderson, Kristen Hawkins, Van Farnworth, Wes Nelson, and Amelie Strongen.
Fun stuff. Service survey. Do you ever get stuck trying to come up with ways to help people? Here's a quick service survey you could use. How can I help you today? Should I make you a sandwich or bring you a drink? Take out the trash or make your bed? Read a book with you or watch a TV show with you? Help you with homework or teach you something fun I know how to do? Listen to you tell a story or tell you a funny joke? Do your least favorite chore? Or play your favorite board game with you? Pray with you or read a scripture with you? Go for a walk with you or do a silly dance with you? That should get you started. What other questions could you ask? End of Service Survey, read by Shannon Nelson.
For parents of little ones, praying can be hard for rambunctious toddlers, but a habit of praying will bless them for the rest of their lives. Here are some ideas from parents about helping young children with daily prayer. I taught my kids about prayer by allowing them to see my husband and I pray often. They are in the habit of praying because we are in the habit of praying. Pray anywhere, anytime, and let your children be a part of that. Megan C. I like to ask them one thing they are thankful for and one thing they want to ask for before they pray. That way, they have a sort of script in mind when they start. Danielle S. Each night we have one person say family prayer. Then every child takes a turn saying their own personal prayer, all together as a family. If we break to go to bed before personal prayers, we're just not as likely to talk with them about their prayers or make sure prayers were said at all. Nikki E. We used a toy apple with 5 slices to explain the parts of prayer. You could also use your 5 fingers. Number 1, Dear Heavenly Father. Number 2, We thank Thee for. Number 3, We ask Thee for. Number 4, In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen. Number 5, Listen. Jennifer R. Have a tip for teaching the gospel in your home? Send it in. Email us at friend@ldschurch.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Terrell Williams.
Hi, friends. I help my mom and sister pack up my toys. Takaia, age 3, Western Australia, Australia. I like to be reverent. Lizzie, age 5, Somerset, England. I donated toys to a refugee center. Emily, age 4, Arizona, USA. I love Jesus. Moroni, age 5, Hawaii, USA. End of Hi Friends, read by Ocean Patello.
Being honest is best. Verity loves her name. Verity's name means truth. When Verity spilled her soup, she told her mom right away. Then she helped clean it up. When Verity broke her brother's toy boat, she said sorry. She helped fix it with glue. When Verity colored on the wall, she told Dad. Now she only colors on paper. Verity feels good when she tells the truth. Verity knows being honest is best. End of the story, Being Honest is Best, read by Chloe Patello.
Scripture stories. Jesus taught about prayer. Jesus was teaching on a hill near the sea. He taught about being kind. He taught about being a good example. He also taught about prayer. Jesus taught that we should talk to Heavenly Father through prayer. We can thank God for what we have. We can ask Him for what we need. We can pray to forgive others. We can ask God to forgive us. We can pray to make good choices. I can be like Jesus. I can pray to Heavenly Father every day. End of Scripture Stories, Jesus Taught About Prayer, read by Kate Strongen.
Who will come to my party? by Lori Fuller Sosa, Church Magazines, based on a true story.
Mom?
Enzo asked.
Can I have a cake shaped like a turtle for my birthday party?
Mom smiled.
Probably, but your birthday isn't for 5 months.
I know. Can we have a water fight at my birthday party, too?
Sure.
It'll be fun. We could wear swimsuits.
That does sound fun.
Can I invite Matt and David and Arlo?
Mom paused.
Well, we can send them invitations, but we're moving to Texas soon, remember? And your friends will stay in Arizona.
Enzo frowned. He didn't want his friends to miss his birthday.
Then who will come to my party?
Mom gave him a big hug.
You will make friends in Texas, too. When it's your birthday, we'll invite them. We will have a fun party with your new friends.
And have turtle cake?
Mom laughed.
And have a turtle cake.
Enzo felt a little better, but he was still worried. That night, Enzo prayed with Mom. He asked Heavenly Father to help him find friends in Texas. Then Enzo thought about Uncle Carlos. Uncle Carlos lived in Texas. He was lots of fun to play with. Enzo had an idea.
Mom, can I invite Uncle Carlos to my party?
That's a great idea.
Can I call him right now?
Mom laughed. She pulled out her phone and called Uncle Carlos. Enzo heard the phone ring.
Hello?
It was Uncle Carlos.
Hi, Uncle Carlos. Can you come to my birthday party? It's in September.
That sounds great,
said Uncle Carlos.
I will put it on my calendar. I'm excited to see you in Texas.
Enzo was so happy. He could hardly wait for his birthday. He already had a great friend in Texas.
End of the story, Who Will Come to My Party? Read by Kristen Hawkins, Sean Nelson, Shauna Thompson, and Ethan Nelson.